But Father, we surely do thank you this morning, and we just give you all honor and glory. We thank you that every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is flowing through this sanctuary this morning, and your people are being blessed from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. And Father, those who are still standing on the fence and trying to decide what they're going to do, I'm asking you, God, to move upon them in a mighty way today. Change and rearrange, Father God, and bring them to a place of security in you. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be giving you something this morning that's not mine, it's somebody else's, but I read it and the Spirit witnessed to me about it, and so I'm just going to give it to you. You know, this is a time when a lot of people are walking away from God right now, for so many different reasons, you know, so many different dumb reasons. And when they stand before Jesus on Judgment Day, none of it's going to matter to a hill of beans. You know, either you follow God or you don't follow God. Either you love God or you don't love God. And God's not going to take this excuse, well, you know, my family or, well, my friends, you know. It's your walk, not somebody else's. It's your walk. And I get, you know, a little bit, not depressed, but sort of out of sorts when I see people that you work so hard with trying to prove the love of God to them, and then they choose the way of the world anyhow. And I just don't understand that, and I'll probably never understand that, why you would choose the things of the world and not the things of God. All right, if you have been in the prophetic movement at all, then you have most likely heard the word suddenly, instantly, or now. Sometimes we hear these words so often that they have no meaning to us, and God is telling us today that those words have caught up to us. You're walking into a new place and your seeds are coming to harvest. You're walking into a new place. The struggle is over. It is here. Get ready to celebrate. Things that have seemed out of reach to you in the past, you now will hold. God's prophetic trumpet is blaring with a sound that it's time. And God's been telling us for a while, it is time. Now is the time. And we need to grasp hold of that this morning, that now is the time that God wants to move in a miraculous way that he's been talking about, not next year, but now. God says, moreover, the Lord lays charge to you, saying, beloved, to walk in the new place that I have brought you to will require radical obedience to my instructions. You cannot simply do what has worked in past seasons and still walk in this new dimension. Listen for my voice. I will guide your every step. There have been restraints that have hindered your progress. And see, this is the trouble. People are not listening for the voice of God. So therefore, they don't know what to do, and they're just wandering around helpless. I will guide your every step. There have been restraints that have hindered your progress, but I am breaking them off of you. See that? You will no longer be tied to the old wineskin. I am setting you free from the confines of the enemy. It is time to soar. He's been telling us for quite some time, I hope that we soon grasp hold of it. And even in this church where the Spirit of God moves and God's spoken these things to us over and over and over again, I still see people that have not become eagles. They are not soaring into the atmosphere with God and receiving all that God has for them. God said, I have ushered you into a season of reaping, period. The seeds that you have planted in past seasons and even the seeds planted from prior generations are coming to harvest. Everywhere you look, there will be fruitfulness. Won't that be wonderful? The rise of the unexpected, a line in the sand, and the return of God's glory. God said, I am raising unexpected people, places, and giftings. See that? I am raising unexpected people, places, and giftings. Stretch yourself beyond small thinking. I am birthing a new move. and it will be accomplished through ways and means that you have never dreamed possible. Be prepared to see the illogical, unusual, unexpected, but undeniable outpouring of my Spirit. Everybody's talking now about God's going to pour out His glory. Everybody. But I don't, you can talk about it to your blue in the face, but if you're really not expecting it, you'll never see it. You'll be standing around just gazing as other people are walking into giftings, and you're just standing there. And God, you know, as I was reading this, God just, he's a little bit upset. He's grieved in his heart because we are not believing Him for the supernatural to occur now. Did you want to give Skip's testimony? His testimony about praying for that guy. Who told me about that? Was that you told me about that? All right. Oh, he'll be here tonight. All right, well, I'll give Skip give his testimony. Well, I'll give you mine. Somebody's been here a couple of times. You know, they were at my house the other day, and they come rushing into my study and said, Mom, you got to come and pray for him. He's really in a bad way right now. And I went out, and he was sitting in my hallway, and I laid hands on him and started praying for him. And he said, look at this. He said, every hair in my body is standing on end. He said, I've never experienced this in my life. And, you know, he was sitting there, you know, weeping and just in total awe of the way the Spirit of God, and he didn't know what it was. I had explained it to him. But he was sitting there in total awe of how the Spirit was moving all over him. Now, see, I was just in my studying. They were outside washing cars and swimming and stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, and all this mixture was going on, they called me, he needs prayer. I just got up, went over and out there and prayed for him. And God moved upon him. I hadn't fasted or prayed for 3 hours. You know what I'm saying? So this is where God says, be instant in season and out of season. And, you know, I didn't say, well, let me pray about it first. A lot of people say, let me pray about it first. You know, you're supposed to be so full of the Spirit that you don't have to be pray about it first. Just go do. And right now is when God wants us to do. It doesn't matter who we run across, where we run across. Just let God use us to do what needs to be done. God said, I have drawn a line in the sand. Remember when He told us that? He told us that here a couple months ago. I have drawn a line in the sand. That was a year ago, really. And my people will have to decide to be all in or all out. I am sending a Samuel prophetic movement, and its flow will be pure. I am removing the Elis, Hophnis, and Phinehas that have polluted my house and have led my people astray. Now, you know that Samuel was a righteous man of God. And he, when God called him to tell him to go do something, he went and did it. Said it just like God wanted him to say it. He didn't worry about whether people liked the words or not. He just went. But he was a righteous man. And so God said he's bringing the Samuel movement. So we are going to have to be righteous people living in holiness and be ready to just go and say what needs to be done and let it go. My glory is coming back to my house and my people. I will meet their hunger with my power. I am blowing fresh wind into them. My promises are true and will not return void. All of this will happen suddenly. Seeds that previous generations have planted will soon sprout forth into harvest. Now let's stop there. You know, I think about the young ladies have to go upstairs every service and do the nursery. They never get to sit down here under the anointing. But here's the logic and the truth of this. If the anointing is here, it's there too. Now, they don't have to be hearing the word, but the anointing of God can be touching them. And so if you're worried about your child being unsaved because they're watching children, then there's something wrong with you. Because if you have them covered in prayer, then God can reach them right where they're at. And anyhow, these young ladies that are doing this should be prayed up so that they have an anointing to minister to these young kids upstairs. We all can't always sit in a sanctuary because there's other people that need ministered to. and they're not going to be sitting in a sanctuary with you. All right? All right, God said, redig the ancient wells. They are your inheritance. The wells of your fathers are your inheritance. Redig the ancient wells. I will make room for you, even as I did for Isaac when he redug the wells of his father Abraham. So let's read Genesis 26:17. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up. Remember, the Philistines come and closed up the wells. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esk, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well. You know, he didn't stop, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called his name Ruth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Every time he dug a well, the people fought over it, and it was cursed. So he went someplace else and dug another well, and finally they dug a well that was not cursed, and now he says, we'll be fruitful. You know, some of you've been digging wells, and people have been polluting your wells, and you need to move on until you come to a place where other people do not pollute what God is trying to do in you and through you. And then you'll prosper. All right? Too many of us, including me, we've allowed other people to pollute our waters. We've allowed them to curse us, you know, and we've allowed them to come into our little bubble and bring evil with them, and then we're not fruitful and we're cursed. And God wants us to quit doing that. We need to make sure that we're where we can be blessed and not cursed. All right, let me give you an example there. You know, when I was 60, a doctor used to come here then, and I had to get a physical for something, so I asked her if she would do it, and she did. But I was 60, and whenever they did the blood work and everything, and my DNA was that of a 30-year-old. I never aged. But there come a time when God told me, "You're now going to go under the curse," and I aged 10 years overnight. So because of somebody else not being obedient to what God told them to do, and I didn't make them do it, I got from the blessing to the curse, and then the curses started coming on my body. And this is what this digging your wells is all about. You cannot allow somebody else to cause you to be cursed. All right? The land of famine is now becoming, this is what God said, the land of famine is now becoming fruitful. The place of drought is becoming an oasis that is springing forth. God is cleansing his house. Eli's priesthood, now listen to this, all you that are going to become leaders. Eli's priesthood had been irretrievably marred by his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Their abominable acts were great in the sight of the Lord. They had neither regard for the Lord nor his people. They took the prime cuts of meat, which according to Mosaic law were the Lord's share, and they did this even as they were being offered to the Lord. They also committed sexual sin with women that worked in the sanctuary. See that? Their depravity caused God to bring judgment on them. They had contaminated God's house, and Eli refused to look at this. See, Eli's a priest, right? Eli refused to remove them from leading God's people. It was Eli's job to get the sin out of the sanctuary. I remember when I was first born again, there was a preacher who was traveling. I can't remember his name, but he was given a teaching, and he said that his mother would sell his books, but his mother wouldn't quit gossiping, so he fired her, his own mother. He said, I could not have her contaminating my ministry. She would not get out of her sin of gossip, so he had let her go. Are you understanding this? You cannot have people in your ministry that will not get out of sin. You know, if you have people in a leadership and they're still in sin, God is expecting the minister, you know, the pastor, the leader, to get that sin out of the church, because it will contaminate the whole church. There's a spirit of lust that prevails in this church. And I was talking to a couple of the leaders, and I said, how can we need to break this spirit of lust in this church. I don't know how it came in, but it came in, and it's prevalent in here. I've never seen the likes where women will come in here and sit and lust after the men. Men who are in leadership will lust after the women. That is not a house of God. That is not a house of God. That's a house of sin. And we need to break that in this church. It happens over. I was really upset this weekend. It happens over and over and over again. It's so prevalent. And I know it happens in another church, but I run this church, and I have got to stop this. You're in the house of God, and you're lusting after the opposite sex, sometimes the same sex. Where do you think you're going to end up at? Not in heaven. Are you understanding this? I'm telling you, leaders in here, you need to make sure that the people working with you are pure and holy, period. And you cannot tolerate any kind of sin. So Samuel 2:29 says, so why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you give your sons more honor than you give me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people Israel. Eli was guilty of placing his sons before his commitment to God. See that? As high priest, he knew the requirement placed upon him, but he had grown complacent. God sent an unnamed prophet to confront him with his failures and to prophesy against Eli's house. God said that he would remove Eli's descendants and replace him with a faithful priest. If you're running a church or a ministry of any type and you don't keep it holy and righteous, God will replace you if you aren't doing your job. And then God says, and to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, to die on the same day. This is scripture. Then I will raise up a faithful priest who will serve me and do what I desire. I will establish his family, and they will be priests to my anointed kings forever. See that? He said, to prove that what I have said will come true, I will cause your two sons to die on the same day. And that happened. God is not playing games. He wants true holiness in his house. I was reading, somebody wrote a prophetic word, and he was saying this is a move of love, and it is, and it is. But if you have sin in the camp, how can love prevail? Lust will prevail, and God will not condone that. God is doing the same thing today. He is removing the priests that will not clean themselves and their houses of worship up, and he has given their mantles to others. God is cleansing his house, period. And Revelation 2:18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, you're right. Now look what God says to this church. These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. See, they were doing a great work for God. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. See, the pastor was allowing this woman to teach and be in sexual sin. Verse 21 says, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. See, God said, I gave her time to do this. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. God is not playing. He wasn't playing then, and he's not playing now. You look at your life. Are you being blessed or are you being cursed? You know, is everything going all right in your life? Is everything going all bad in your life? Come on. God is removing complacent leaders that refuse to deal with sin. He is replacing them with those who will lead people with purity. The line has been drawn. There is a division between the real and the counterfeit. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That was a 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 tells you he's going to go to heaven, who isn't. All right, the sinners not in heaven. I'm sorry, 10 sinners that are not in heaven. Sexually immoral, idolaters, adulteresses, and infamant, that is a man having characteristics and ways of behaving traditionally associated with women regarded as inappropriate for a man. Homosexuals are not going to be there. Now, I don't care who says that they will. The Word of God says they won't. Thieves or robbers, greedy or covetous, drunkards, which is substance abusers, slanderers, verbal abusers, swindlers, or extortioners. Now, if anybody says, you will I make heaven? say to them, check your fruit against this and see if you'll make heaven or not. And then in Amos 9:13 says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now, God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Isn't that what God's told us? We need to get our houses in order because we won't be able to real soon because everything's going to happen overnight. And God said, every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is covering the earth, and all those who have died after self will inherit the kingdom. What did he say? All those who have died out to self will inherit the kingdom. God is bringing you into a season of reaping. The harvest is plentiful, and this is your time. The struggle is over. It is here. Then God said, prophetic word, your harvest will drop from the air. This is another word I'm going to read. We need to understand that when God sends somebody to us that has not been in the house of God before, we need to act instantly with them. If they want a deliverance, we don't give them a deliverance a month down the road. We work them in, even if it's inconvenient to us. Somebody called here for a deliverance. They give a deliverance. They called in June, and they're not going to do it till July. And this person tried to commit suicide the other day. That person should have been brought in right away because they knew that person was messed up. It doesn't matter if you have to stay up all night to do it. Are you a servant of God or are you not? Are you deliverance people listening to this? You know, I'm hearing God say, are you in here for the long haul or just at your convenience? And I had to talk to this person and get him talked out of that. We need to be about the Father's business, and we need to be doing what needs to be done. Okay, here's another prophetic word. Your harvest will drop from the air. I saw in the Spirit the Lord highlighting the months of July through December of this year, and then also highlighting the months of July, August, and September separately. I asked the Lord what he had in mind for these two overlapping yet distinct periods of time, and this is what he said. Now listen to what he said here. The months of July through December will be 180 days of healthy, wealthy, and wise for my people. It will all start with a three-month period of time from July through September, says the Lord. In this season, before the Feast of Tabernacles, I am building myself a house. My house is in you, and I am building you up and rebuilding you, putting you back together in a new way. During these three-month season, you are to focus on your health in every way, says the Lord. You are to let me build you and remake you into a new spiritual house for me, for my spirit to dwell in. You hear that? You people who are sick, all of us who are sick. Think not that the former things are good enough, period. You have made great strides, says the Lord, but I have a whole new level of health and fulfillment for you in this season. In this season of health from July through September, says the Lord, surround yourself with healthy things and make a healthy environment for yourself. If you have to get rid of people around about you, get rid of them, but make sure that you have a healthy environment. I read again how stress, you won't be able to lose weight as long as you're under stress. You just won't. And stress can cause you all kind of diseases. So you have to make your own healthy environment. You have to get rid of everything that's causing you stress. God said, it is not my will for you to live in chaos or disarray, period. Again, you have made great progress. I am proud of you, my beloved child, says the Lord. But we have a long way to go together, and now is a time when we are going to go there. If you will submit to my guidance and the instruction of my spirit, says the Lord, at the end of these 3 months, you will not recognize yourself and your environment compared to what you see before you right now. I'm excited about what I desire to do in you, with you, and through you in this time, says the Lord. But are you excited about it? Are you excited about what God desires to do in you and through you and around about you? Well, and I know this is a little bit boring, but keep yourself awake, all right? I'm going to have the angel come by and jab you with a pin in a minute. Then God said, I'm going to partner with you to bring all things to light that you need to know. See that? God said, I'm going to partner with you to bring the things to light, all things that you need to know. I'm going to reveal things to you, strategies and blueprints, opportunities and surprises, says the Lord. All right, now we have Kelly and Arthur here who just got married, but God's called them into a ministry, right? This is a time that God wants you to get before him so he can do this, tell you all these things. Not a month from now, but start right now. We need to get before God. I've been getting before God just because of my health. And every night I have a dream, I know the dream when I'm in it, but when I wake up, I don't know the dream. But I know I'm talking with dignitaries. And I know we're making plans of some sort, but I got the Holy Spirit over, but I can't remember what it's all about when I open my little peepers. But anyhow, in other words, I'm trying to say God's doing something. And you know, and whether I remember or not, God knows what he's doing, and he's just going to do it. I have to be yielded to him to do whatever he wants to do. The same with every one of you. You have to know that God is doing something in you right now. And that you need to partner with him and let him go ahead and do it. Then God says, happy surprises are coming to you right now. They are on their way to you today as we speak. Plead the blood of Jesus over them that they may not be hindered or delayed, says the Lord. So happy surprises are coming to us right now. They're on their way to us today. So we need to pray that they are not hindered or delayed. So we don't want to do a 21-thing day like Daniel had to do. We want our surprises now, right? God said, you are in my womb, in my bosom, hidden in me, says the Lord. Never forget that as my son Jesus is in heaven, so are you on the earth. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. That's the thing we always have to remember, because the enemy has been taking all of us through the biggest valley we've ever been in. Isn't that right? And, you know, we had to remember Jesus is walking there with us. We're not alone. Then he goes on to say, after September is over, you will be in a preparing season, says the Lord. The months of October, November, and December this year will be a season of gearing up for huge breakthroughs, says the Lord. The plowman will overtake the reaper in this season. Harvest will drop from the air. I say it again, your harvest will drop from the air. This is where God's going to start doing his suddenlies. Suddenlies, you're going to be so overwhelmed, you won't know what to do with yourself. So make sure you get yourself prepared to be overwhelmed, all right? If you can do that, there's such a thing to do. Did you think you were finished receiving from what you call thin air when I stopped dropping manna on the ground, says the Lord? No, I say. I'm ready to do it again and again, says the Lord. The Israelites could have had more manna even in the promised land, but they stopped believing for it. They no longer thought they needed me to provide for them in that way. But they could still be eating manna to this day if they had wanted to and believed me for it. So whatever we can believe God for is what we're going to receive. The enemy can't take away your promises from God. You stop your promises from coming to pass. And your promises are your manna that God's been given us. God says, my beloved one, you are not in the place where the Israelites were. You have learned to depend on me, have you? All right. And I want you to know that your provision will fall from the air in the months of October, November, and December of this year. Your provision is coming. It is here now, but the breakthrough you have been praying for is on its way also, says the Lord. Yeah. See that? We need our new building. Alan needs to get out of the swamp he's living in downstairs. He got flooded twice now. You know, we need our promises fulfilled now. All right, this six-month period is a time when I want to do marvelous things for you, says the Lord. In order to accomplish them, I need you to confess my word out of your mouth in some way every day. I am healed by your stripes of Jesus. He's talking about things like that. Be sure to do this, for my word is a catalyst that forms these miracles I am telling you about today, says the Lord. Seek me first in this season, says the Lord. All right, God told me he's going to return my youth, so I got a picture of myself when I was 30, and I have it up on my desk. And I said, this is my youth, and this is what I want to look like when you're finished with me. And I look at it every day and said, that's good. That's me. God's working on me. You know, and I believe that, you know. Healed, healthy, everything else. That's the way I was then. And you said that you was going to turn my youth. That was my youth. So what has God promised you? Are you working on it diligently, making sure you get it? He says, seek me first in this season, says the Lord. Of course, that is a must for any season. It is always my command that you should seek first my kingdom and my righteousness in order for all these things to be added to you, says the Lord. But I want you to know the devil will try to overwhelm you with busyness in this next 6 months. See that? Don't let him. Be on guard and get all the rest you need, and I prescribe. You will actually get more done from the place of my rest than you would have otherwise. Trust me, says the Lord. So we need to quit striving. We need to enter into God's rest. And allow God then to perform the miracle. God says, my beloved one, I love you more than you know, says the Lord. I have seen your cries and your tears. I know the burden of your heart. I am curing you. I am healing you. I am working on your behalf. I am rejuvenating you and refreshing you. I am bringing you all that you desire, period. You are not alone, and you have not been forgotten. You need to know that, says the Lord. Some of us, I know, sometimes we think God forgot about us, right? And, you know, we wonder what he's doing. But, you know, God knows everything he's doing, and everything he does is perfect. God said, but my beloved, I work all things out for your good in time. Time is your friend, for I am working behind the scenes. How many times have we told you I'm working behind the scenes? Fret not yourself because of evildoers or because of those who prosper in their way. You find that in Psalm 37. You will receive your recompense and reward in time, and that time is sooner than you know, says the Lord. God is getting ready to prosper his people like you would never have seen before. Some of you can't even function properly because you can't understand what God is doing. And I'm hearing God say he wants to redeem your time. He wants to give you back the time that the enemy has stolen from you. Now, are you ready really to gain, this is what God is saying, are you really ready to gain the riches of heaven? Or are you still playing around with it? God wants you to regain the riches of heaven this morning. And then he wants you to retain that. And then he wants to, from this day forward, he wants to keep blessing you. Every day, you should be receiving a blessing of some sort. Now, the mountain's not going to move. You know, God blesses us in little ways. And what I mean by that, you're not going to look at a mountain that's going to go over here. You need to start looking at the small things, the small blessings that you need, and allow God to move in those areas. And then he'll move in those areas and keep going up till we get to the big things that God wants to deal with and give to us. I'm hearing God say, everything is ready to blossom. And everything is you. Are you ready to blossom? Are you ready to allow God to touch you and go forth? And I'm hearing God say, and receive the riches that you deserve as heirs of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's saying, are you unhappy with the way the enemy has been stealing from you constantly? And if you're ready to make the devil stop stealing from you, then God is ready today to start blessing you. But you know what God does? He makes us, keeps us in the situation until we're sick and tired of it. And then when we're really sick and tired of it, then we'll say, God, you've got to do, God, you have to do something. Isn't that the way we do? But we wait till we're sick and tired, and then we cry out to God, you have to do something. And this is what God's asking you this morning. Are you sick and tired of whatever it is in your life that you're unhappy with, to the point you say, God, you have to move because I can't? And if you are, then you're the ones that God wants to the altar, because he wants to touch you so that your blessings can start flowing today.